a part of that. When we reach out to God, He's got it. He's got it covered, and He's got you covered. Amen? Amen. So, at dance, I play for ballet anyway. I play ballet music until our kids get to a certain point where they can do ballet moves while listening to worship music. So a few weeks ago, I was playing one of my favorite worship bands, Frontline Worship, and I was playing the song, Show Me Your Way, Whatever It Takes to Change, I See What's New, Looking at How Far I've Come, Here Is My Life, Don't Let Me Forget the Way, Here Is My Life, I Can't Afford to Stay the Same. And as I'm singing that, I sang it over and over. You know how a song gets stuck in your head throughout the week? I'm just singing it. And I'm like, show me your way, whatever it takes to change. And I'm just singing it. I'm just having me a good old time. And then I got down to that last line again. I can't afford to stay the same. I'm like, I can't afford to stay the same. I'm like, okay. And so then I started thinking about what I was singing. Because a lot of the times, I don't want to sing lies to God. We come in and we sing worship songs and we raise our hands. And I always have to check my spirit. Am I singing a lie to God right now, or am I singing the truth? Especially we just sang, I don't know if it was Sunday, I get them all mixed up, but I give my life away. You know, we're singing, my hands are raised. I'm like, wait, do I mean this right now? Do I really, right? I have to check my spirit. Like, am I really giving my life away so that God can use me? Am I really giving everything that I have so that God can use me? So I'm a big, like, that's something that God always works on me, and don't sing lies to me, Aaron. Don't sing lies to me. So I'm singing this song, and so I started making it my prayer. Show me your way, God, whatever it takes to change. And when you pray that prayer, sometimes you don't like the answer. Because whatever it takes, God, show me what you want. And the word that he brought to me was thankfulness. And I'm like, what? No, another word. Let's work on another word. And he just was like, thankfulness. And I'm like, no, you're just saying that because it's Thanksgiving is next week. And how about another thing that I need to work on? And obviously, God always wins. So I was thinking about that. And I'm like, it's not that I'm ungrateful. It's the part where I voice my thankfulness, because I keep it in here a lot and I don't always say it out loud. But how are people supposed to know how thankful I am if I don't say it? And so he led me to this passage of scripture that we are going to dissect tonight, because that's what I like to do. And we're going to turn to Luke 17 and we're going to go through verses 11 through 19. And before I read it, I'm just going to pray. God, we do thank you for who you are tonight. And I just pray that your hand be on everything that is said and done. Let our eyes and our focus be directed towards you tonight. Take me out of it, and it's all you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to talk about the story where Jesus heals the 10 men with leprosy. And maybe you've heard it before, and that's awesome. But we're going to dissect it a little bit and break it down tonight. So that's in Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. I'm going to read it. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And when he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them came back when he saw that he was healed, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give God praise except for this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. I read that. And I'm the type of person that when I read something, I really want to dig into just that section that I read. And so that's exactly what I did. So much where my brain just started to get all crazy. Do you ever research something so much where you're just like, just got to stop and pray? So that's what happened. So we're going to start at verse 11. It says, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border. So what we have here is Jesus was on his way. He was traveling between cities. He was on his way to fulfill his destiny, his purpose in Jerusalem. He was going in the direction that God has asked him to do, and he was traveling there. And I thought about when I travel, I am not a good traveler. You can ask my husband. I don't like to travel. I'm waiting for the technology that they had in Star Trek. Do you ever have Star Trek fans? Where that little thing on your shoulder and you can go, beam me up, and you're there. I'm waiting for that to happen because I do not like traveling. And when you have kids, they kind of shift that. You have to be good at it because you never know what's going to happen. I don't want to stop. I will hold my bladder until we get there 6 hours later. I don't want to stop. But, you know, having kids, I had to get over that really fast. But so me traveling and somebody getting in the way of me traveling, I would be like, ah, you know, I don't want to be bothered with it. But Jesus was on his way. And I wonder how many sometimes we're on our way. We're doing what we're supposed to be doing. We're walking in the direction that we're supposed to be walking with in. And God wants to stop us, but we don't ever stop. Not that where we're going is bad, but he just has a different plan. And so in verse 11, Jesus was traveling on his way. And then in verse 12, it says, as he was walking into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. There was 10 men who had leprosy. Now, leprosy was a disease back in the day that was big. It was a bacterial infection, still is, but it was more common back in Bible times. And it got in your system and it caused sores and you could end up smelling really bad and looking really bad. I actually saw a picture and I couldn't even look. I was like, well, I'm not even going to show that. That's disgusting. Like, it got bad. And sometimes you'd even know you had it until 20 years down the road because the longer you had it, the worse that it got. And what happened was people who had leprosy were shunned from society. Nobody wanted to be around them. You are not allowed to live with your families. You are not allowed to go to the market. You are not allowed to be around people that you know and that you loved. You needed to be away from them and separate from them. And so they were allowed to hang out together, though. So here we have these 10 men who are shunned from society, allowed to hang out together. And so, wow, when I think about that, they're hanging out together, people look down on them, and it says that they met him. That means they knew that Jesus was coming. It's not like they were just standing there, you know, watching it go by. It says that they met him. So they must have heard on the street this Jesus guy was coming because they went to where he was because they met him there. And so they're there, and in verse 13 it says, and they called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. They recognized who the healer was. They knew where to get help, and they knew they needed help, and they called out to him, Jesus. And how many times do we know that we need help, and we know who the healer is, but we never cry out to him? We don't meet him at the place where we're supposed to meet him. And we know that there's something that we need to change something, but we just kind of keep it because we don't really want to work on that, or we don't really want change. We know what's going on, but we don't call out for his help. In Psalms 3:4, it says, I call out to you, Lord, and he answers me from his holy mountain. He's there for us. We just need to call out for him. And we think, I've heard this so many times, I don't know why in the past few months, I just can't go to church until I have it all together. What? That's why I go to church, is so I can get at least some of my stuff together, you know? And so many people sometimes say, oh, I can't go. I'm not perfect. I don't have it all together. Yeah, let me know somebody who does have it all together, because maybe it's not leprosy that we're dealing with. It might be something else, though, that we need to cry out to God and say, listen, I need your help. Maybe it's gossip. Maybe it's lust. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's swearing. Whatever it is, you can meet Jesus on the road and you can call out to help for him. I read this on Facebook. Joyce Meyer wrote, it's okay to not be okay. You don't have to pretend that you are okay. You can say, I need help and I need help from God. It's okay not to be okay. How many of you ever need help from God sometimes? Every hour, every day for me sometimes, right? Cry out to him, see him, meet him, and call out to him. He's there when we need him. In this next verse, I love it. I love it, I love it, I love it. When he saw them, it says, when he saw them, Jesus saw them. He didn't just pass them by. So many people would have just walked by, would have ignored them, would have looked over and went, ew, and then kept walking. So many people would have just passed by, probably stared and turned around, but not Jesus. He saw them. And he sees you. He sees me. Jesus sees you. We were in New York City a few years ago, and I remember we had to do a homeless ministry one night, and it was late. You didn't go out on the street until 11 or 12 at night in the middle of New York City. And so we're out there, and I kid you not, on one side of the street, there was homeless people living in boxes, walking around in bare feet, just struggling. It was bad. On the other side of the street, I mean, across the street, it was the nicest hotel I've seen. Cars were pulling up, letting people out. Limos were pulling out. These people were dressed to the nines, not even noticing what was going on across the street. And I remember one of the kids came up to me, and they were like, do you see that? And I didn't notice it. And I was like, see what? Yeah, I see these people. Let's, you know, we got to go pray for them. We got to give them food. And she's like, no. Do you see those people over there? And we just stopped and we looked. And at the time, two of them dressed, I mean, I'm telling you, dressed to the nines. They looked and the one went like this and pointed over there just like this. And the other one went, and then they kept walking. And my heart hurt because how can every day do they see this kind of thing and not do anything about it? But not Jesus. When they called out to him, Jesus saw them. He saw not what they were on the outside, but he saw what they could be on the inside. And he looked past all of that, just like he looked past all of that with me and with you. He looks beyond our exterior. He looks beyond our disfigurements. He looks beyond that, and he sees the beautiful person that's underneath all of that. Jesus saw them, and that's such an important phrase that I think if we would just to read it, we wouldn't even think twice about it. But to me, I'm so glad Jesus saw me, that he didn't see the, you know, what I was doing or how messed up I was. He saw what was inside of me and what I had to offer. And he still does that every single day. He sees beyond what I'm going through, and he sees where he could take me. And I'm so thankful that Jesus saw me, and he sees you. And he said, this is what he said to them. He said, go and show yourself to the priest. He didn't say anything but that. He said, go and show yourself to the priest. Back then, you had to go when you were sick or when something was going on. You had to go to the priest, and the priest would deem you presentable to go back into society. So he was calling out in faith. He was, God's power was working through him, and he said, go show yourself to the priest. He says to them, go. And they went. That's important that they went, because they obeyed what Jesus was telling them to do. Sometimes our healing is right around the corner, and God asks us to do something to see if we will obey him. What if we don't do it? He said, go, and they went. And it says, and as they went, they were cleansed. Not at the moment when Jesus said it. They said, as they went. When they obeyed Jesus, when they started walking in the direction where Jesus told them to go, then they were cleansed. That's good. Our obedience to God will bring about God's power in our lives. When we obey God, it brings his power in our lives. Man, that touched me, because sometimes I don't want to do what God says to do all the time, but I don't, and it shows in my life. But when I obey God, I notice his power follows me. Go here. Okay. God blesses me. Do this. Okay. God shows favor on my life. You'll see his power when we obey him. And because they went, they were cleansed. God's power showed up. Why? Because they went. In verse 15, it says, and that, honestly, that story could end there, and that touched my life. That touched my life. God saw them. He saw beyond everything. They went. They obeyed. They were cleansed. That's awesome. But there's more to that story. It says, one of them, just one, there was 10 who was cleansed, but one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. One of them, just one, came back, praising God. He understood the real implications of what had just happened. He understood that he had been in the presence of God. He understood that he wanted more than just physical healing. He saw that he was healed and it was too much for him to contain. And he had to go thank the person, the very guy that allowed God's power to come on him to be healed. He knew where the true thanksgiving belonged. And he not only went back to Jesus, he started praising him in a loud voice. A loud voice. I thought about, you know, that commercial where he proposes to the woman and he's like, I love this woman. Really, really loud. I didn't want to do that in the mic for your ears. But that I love that commercial because he just screams it on the top of his lungs how much he loves this woman. And that's what I thought of that this guy did. He just turned around and he started praising God in a loud voice. He didn't care what was or who was around him. The Bible says, to come, everyone, clap your hands, shout to God with a joyful praise. You know when pastor is up here on a Sunday morning, he's like, on a count of three, give God your best praise. I don't know that I can do that sometimes. I get shy. I get like, oh, somebody's going to hear me, you know. But from this, right? Yeah, you're praising God. Someone's going to hear you. But from this standpoint, he didn't care. He didn't care. He was praising God. He was thanking God in a loud voice. And in verse 16, it says, he threw himself at Jesus' feet and he thanked him. He was unashamed. He was healed and he knew who the healer was and he was unashamed of it. Where did we get to the point where we're ashamed to praise God? Where we're ashamed to jump around? We're ashamed to, you know, we don't know what everyone's going to think if I just start jumping up and down in church and clapping my hands. You know, oh, what's everyone going to say? Last week when Roddick was here, I have to tell this story because honestly, I want this in my life. My dad was up here, the only white man up here, and he was jumping around. That's right. And I was up in the sound booth and all of our musicians had gone. They had left the stage, but right here. He was right here. He was having a good old time. I think he was making up the words that they were singing, but he did not care. He didn't care. I was up there, and I went to my husband. I go, do you see my dad? He goes, yeah. I go, I want to be like that. That's cool, because he didn't care, because he knows who his God is, and he was unashamed to be up here and praise and worship Jesus. And you know what? He was having a good old time. I guess I have a better chance at that because he's my dad, but I want that. You know, I don't want to care who's around me when I praise Jesus. And you're going to have to help me with that too, because I don't know why we get to that point where we get so ashamed or to do the things that God has asked us to do. But I'm taking this as an example in my life to say he was unashamed. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and he thanked him. He thanked him. We are called to live out loud, to be on fire, to live with passion for Jesus. The Bible says to never be lacking in zeal, but to keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. That word zeal means enthusiastic, passionate, intense. We're called to live like that for Jesus. And he made sure that he said he was a Samaritan. Now, I did research on this. They're not positive, but he could have been a different race than all the other ones. We know that he was a Samaritan, but we don't know if all the other nine were all Jews or if some of them were Samaritans. But back in that day, the Samaritans and the Jews, they did not get along. It was like this feud going on. And so he made to be sure to point that out because Jesus was a Jew, that this man was a Samaritan. And to prove that point, that God's power was for anybody and anyone that would reach out and accept it. God's power is still for anybody and anyone that will open up their hearts and their lives to anyone who will accept him. Amen? In verse 17, Jesus, this blows my mind. Jesus' response wasn't what you would expect. He says, so this man, he turns around, he starts thanking him, he throws him at his feet, he's loud about it, he's thanking God. And Jesus says, as this man is doing this, doesn't recognize this man at his feet. He says this, we're not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? That's what he says. It wasn't, thank you for thanking me, oh gracious one. You're awesome. It wasn't that. He was almost displeased towards the ones that didn't come back. And he says, where are they? And not that the other 9, we don't know, were ungrateful. Because if you were cleansed from this disease, I'm sure you were grateful about it. I'm sure they were excited to go back to their families and go back to work and go back to society. I'm sure they were. But only one man went back. And why didn't Jesus praise the one who was being thankful? Well, it's because we're called to be thankful. We're called to give thanks in every situation. I thought about, it's strange, I know this is going to sound strange, but my daughter is almost 2, and we have a little potty in the bathroom because she's been interested in going to the potty. I'm not forcing it because she's not 2 yet. You know, just if she wants to go, she can go. But when she goes, and she has gone a few times, when she goes, has anyone ever potty trained a little kid? Yeah, you did it. You're so amazing. Wow, let's go get your big girl underwear on and we'll give you a Smartie. She loves Smarties and we flush the toilet. Yay. However, when my 9-year-old son goes to the bathroom, I don't knock on the door. Yeah, bud, you did it. All right. Way to go. Let's go get you a Snickers. He'd probably like that. Or how about us? Every time we go in the bathroom and flush the toilet, we don't get this, woohoo, you did it again. Right? It's because it's something that we're supposed to do. It's something that we're supposed to do. And so when I read that, I'm like, oh, being thankful is something that we're called to do. We're supposed to be thankful in every situation. And I have scripture to prove it. In Psalm 136:1, it says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. In Colossians 3:17, it says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God Father through him. Psalm 100, verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Colossians 2:6-7. So then, just as you received Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up and strengthened in faith as you are taught, overflowing with thankfulness. Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything. That one's tough. But in every situation, everyone say, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. We are called to be thankful people. We're called to live a life of gratitude. And so in verse 18, he goes on and he says, has no one returned to give God praise except for this foreigner? Is he the only one who immediately knew where the praise and thanksgiving went? And again, he pointed out that he was a foreigner. He was somebody that wasn't even supposed to like a Jew. So then he goes on to say, and I love this, I'm almost done. He says, rise and go. So after he notices that he's the only one that came back, he says, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. The first time Luke tells us that the lepers were cleansed, and now Jesus says to the one, your faith has made you well. 10 men were cleansed and healed by God's power. One man was made well by his faith. That made well, after looking it up, meant saved. So not only was he healed, he was also saved by his faith. There's a difference between me being made clean and being made whole. Healing is an awesome thing, but we still need to be saved by his grace through our faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Our faith has the power to make us well. And because of his faith, because of his gratitude, because he turned around and he said, thank you, God took him to a whole nother level with his walk with God. Did you catch that? Because he was thankful, God took him to the next level in his walk. How much more sweeter would our lives be when we live a life of thanksgiving? How much more will we be able to get to that next level with God? By what? Not only our faith, but by giving God thanks. There's power in gratitude. I want to end with this story, Debbie, if you'll just come up. I found this story, and it's about a whale. I'm not one of those, save the whales. Save them, yes, but I'm not like, you know, go green about it. But I read this, and it really touched me. So I'm going to read it to you. A female humpback whale had become entangled in a spider web of crab traps and lines. She was weighted down by hundreds of pounds of traps that caused her to struggle to stay afloat. She also had hundreds of yards of line rope wrapped around her body, her tail, her torso, a line tugging in her mouth. This is her story of giving gratitude. A fisherman spotted her just east of the Farallon Islands, outside of the Golden Gate, and radioed for help. Within a few hours, the rescue team arrived and determined that she was so badly off, the only way to save her was to dive in and untangle her. A very dangerous proposition. One slap of the tail could kill a rescuer. They worked for hours with curved knives and eventually freed her. When she was free, the divers say she swam in what seemed like a joyous circles. And then she came back to each and every diver, one at a time, and nudged them and pushed them gently, thanking them. Some said it was the most incredibly beautiful experience of their lives. The guy who cut the rope out of her mouth says her eye was following him the whole time, and he will never be the same. May you be so fortunate to be surrounded by people who will help you get untangled from things that are binding you. And may we always know the joy of giving and receiving gratitude. And it's up to us to keep improving our ability to give gratitude. What a powerful lesson that whale teaches us. It's powerful in itself when the men free her, but it takes on a whole new meaning when we hear that she came back to thank them for saving her. And I said it before, how much sweeter will our lives be when we give thanks in all situations, in everything that we say, in everything that we do. That experience for those men who freed that whale because she came back made it all the more sweeter. When we turn around and we begin to give thanks to God for everything that he's done, the good, and even when we're going through things, when we begin to thank God, I mean, our lives become so much more better, for lack of a better word right now. And we'll be able to walk in that grace, and we'll be able to move to the next level, all because we turn around and we say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Let's pray. God, I do just come before you tonight, and I do thank you for your grace. I thank you for your love. I thank you, God, that you looked beyond exterior and you saw what was in each and every one of us, God. Help us to not be ashamed of who you are, God, and help us to willingly give you thanks in every situation, God. And help that our grace and our thanks, God, will bring us to a whole nother level with you. I thank you for each person here. Meet their needs tonight. Let them know that you're there and that you love them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you need prayer for anything tonight, we'll be up here. We love you. Hope to see you Sunday morning. If you're up at 10 o'clock, tune in at Angelus Temple and watch Pastor be praying for him. But have a good night.